All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is the John DiBella Show daily podcast. Dust off those Memorial Day hangovers and listen up, because it's daily podcast time. All the best stuff from today's show on this May 29th, a Tuesday. It's Dave here. What did we talk about? Well, there's been a Star Wars onslaught since Disney took over the franchise and we reacted to Solo being released over the weekend. There was lots of patriotism around the country, seeing as it was Memorial Day weekend, and a crowd took the matter into their own hands at a sporting event. We had a stupid fashion break with Cindy Graham once again, and Chris Epting, our musicologist buddy, he joined us to answer the question, who are you? Plus, since we missed it yesterday, we thinned the herd today with an extra day of stupid people in the news. So here you go. Enjoy it. It is the Daily Podcast.
By the way, speaking of movies, right, the Han Solo movie tanked, and so did Deadpool. I saw people who saw Deadpool. I was talking to Casey, my son, and he said, underwhelmed.
Really?
Right, yeah.
Well, after that marketing blitz, people are like, I feel like I already had 2 hours of Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. I had heard Deadpool was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it's one of
people
those
People have
mixed.
Star Wars fatigue, though, when it comes to Solo.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, it's not getting any better. Not getting any better at all. When you start to hear about the plans they have.
The new Star Wars movie about Han Solo didn't do as well as expected. But that won't stop the marketing geniuses at Disney and their plans for these other standalone Star Wars movies. Like this fall, don't miss Vicky the Hutt, the story of Jabba the Hutt's lactose-intolerant niece, followed by Corporal Ackbar, the story of Admiral Ackbar's underachieving millennial stepson. And this holiday season, it's Q2-SQ-3987B, the story of the lovable droid who roams the universe charging all of the Rebels' mobile devices. Yay. He's so cute, that K2-SQ-3789, what was his name again? Never mind. And if you haven't been asked yet to direct a Star Wars standalone film, don't worry. Due to the sheer volume of these galactic money grabbers, it's as inevitable as jury duty. Until then, Star Wars fans, may the repetition be with you.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Mamma mia!
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
We'd really like to have you. This coming Friday is a first Friday. And if you've ever wondered, gee, how do all those people end up in a studio every month? Well, you do it this way. You call us now here in the studio at 215-263-WMGK. And you get to bring a guest along with you. There's always fabulous parting gifts. There's plenty of food. Piccalilli Inn is going to be doing the food this week, Steve. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
All right. Piccalilli Inn will do the food this week. It's going to be a great time. And Tammy Pescatelli, the true love of my life. Right.
Wow.
Not that my wife should even worry about that, because they're also very good friends, those two.
That's right.
Right. You know, it's like every female comic I like ends up becoming great friends with my wife.
You get friend zoned immediately.
Right. Anyway, she's going to be here as well.
The John DiBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
A high school, I guess it was. It's a high school in Fresno, California, is having a softball championship. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I guess, I don't know, with Fresno area schools, they're having a softball championship. The game's about to begin, and the announcer comes on the PA and says, ladies and gentlemen, we will not be singing the Star Spangled Banner today. Let's play softball. And the crowd goes nuts. The crowd just starts booing like crazy. Yeah. And they're about to start the game. And one guy stands up, and then slowly but surely, and the whole game goes on hold for this crowd to finish the national anthem. I think it was, you know what? Good for you, Fresno.
Yeah, well done, dude.
Good for you, all right? And the Fresno Bee stands behind you. You know, when you're in a major city like Fresno, California, shouldn't your newspaper have a better name than the Bee?
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
And you know what, Cindy?
What's that?
Nothing could make it better after a holiday weekend than for me to tell you about.
Oh boy.
Now, I know, now we all love our t-shirts. I mean, Dave and Steve would be lost if it wasn't for t-shirts. Oh. They'd be half naked every morning if it wasn't for t-shirts. All right. Well, now, Dave, now that you, you know, if you end up paying less than $2 million for that Aston Martin, right?
Right. You know, which I'm hoping to.
And if you have an extra $1,250 left over.
What?
All right, there is a t-shirt that you might be interested in. Cindy, if you would go to our Facebook page, you'll be able to see it yourself because.
I just posted it and didn't even know what to caption it.
Right.
Because it's so bizarre.
Right. It is a $1,200 t-shirt that has an entire button-down shirt sewn onto it.
Now, if you, explain that. I don't get this.
If you look at the back of it, if you turn it around, it's just a t-shirt.
Is this for conjoined twins?
It literally is a shirt, right? A t-shirt with a shirt sewn onto the front of it, and you can unbutton it and button it up, but you can't really wear it. Or I guess you could put it on and have the t-shirt hang off the back of you. Right? Oh, so it does have two options. I don't know. It's a company
called... Can you take it off? Do they separate?
Right? No. It's a company called Bellasencia, and they introduced this new shirt, and the gimmick is it's got an entire long-sleeve button-down shirt sewn onto the front, so basically your t-shirt has another nicer shirt hanging off of it.
It's for those guys who would give you the shirt off their back.
Right.
And still stay close.
Well, in this case, the shirt off their chest.
That's true. That is true.
Let me help you get that shirt off your chest.
Right. The John DeBella Podcast.
Oh, isn't it sweet?
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
He is back, the author of If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 Lyrical Lines That Helped Define the 1970s. He's the one and only author, musicologist, Chris Efting. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, John. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
You're starting with, you know, one of my favorite bands in the world, probably my favorite band in the world, The Who. I have heard parts of this story, but parts of it I never knew before, because this is when Pete drank.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Who Are You? And, of course, Pete being found out on the street. And that's a real story?
It's a real story. And what's interesting is that, you know, it's about 1977. And in London, of course, the punk movement is in full bloom. The Sex Pistols have sort of, you know, it's a really interesting time for bands like The Who and The Stones and Pink Floyd that have been almost toppled by this, you know, group of punks. And so, as the legend goes, and it's true, Townsend spends a day, full day, with Alan Klein going over band finances. His mind is just sort of a blur from this kind of grueling day of numbers crunching, and he goes into a bar and he runs into Paul Cook and Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols. And, you know, there was this kind of mutual admiration because the Pistols looked at him as kind of the godfather of their movement.
Uh-huh.
And I think he looked at them as the next in line. He totally understood and appreciated where they were coming from. And they have this incredible night of drinking and stuff, and Townsend winds up passed out in the alley outside the pub. And at morning, he's woken up, and there's a line of the song, "I woke up in a Soho doorway, a policeman knew my name." And as the cop shakes him out of his stupor, the first thing Townsend says to him was, "Who are you?" And then from that point, builds the song around not just the cop, but uses that as kind of a springboard and this metaphor of, like, well, who are the fans? Who are the Pistols? Really kind of challenging everything around him. Now, I had heard a lot of this stuff, too, but several weeks ago, I found myself at a little luncheon sitting next to Paul Cook from the Sex Pistols.
Okay.
And he recounted what it was like the day Townsend came in. He said of all of his memories from that period, as crazy as it was, one of the fondest was sitting drinking with Pete Townsend, because he's like you. The Who for him is like right at the top of the list,
right?
And he had just seen Daltrey play the week before in England and stuff. So it's a great story, I think, because again, that period in rock and roll, you remember, it was so interesting when the Pistols came up and really kind of, mm-hmm. you know, pierced all those bubbles of the really big bands. But I think the fact that Townsend got them and appreciated them is really true to form. You know what I mean? A lot of his contemporaries dismissed bands like the Pistols, but I think Townsend was smart enough to realize they were definitely onto something and that there was something he could learn from them and vice versa.
Did the cop say, "Who the F are you?" Or did Townsend say, "Who the F are you?" to the cop?
Townsend said that to the cop. That's the story.
Okay.
It was just perfectly appropriate. And And again, if you look at the lyrics as well, there's a line in there, 11 hours in the tin pan, referring to, you know, the Tin Pan Alley reference of working with lawyers. He says, God, there's got to be another way. I mean, he's, you know, there's a lot of kind of interesting frustration at that point. But I think for a lot of big bands of that stature in the late 70s, you know, times were changing like right under their feet in a way they never had since the 60s. And they had to sort of, you know, either reinvent themselves or do something. And I think Townsend was smart enough to realize that, you know, they had to evolve a little bit and not just sort of get stuck in the same rut like a lot of other bands.
Well, he is Chris Epting, the author of If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 lyrical lines that helped define the 1970s, which you could pick up through Amazon.com. They are The Who, and the question at hand is, who are you?
The John DeBella Podcast.
How does he do it? How the hell is he doing?
102.9 MGK.
One would think with the holiday weekend that the bozos would take off as well, but nah, that doesn't happen. Take the case of one 26-year-old woman named Angelique Sanchez. She's from Aurora, Colorado, and she was trying to get a job at a health clinic last week, and she needed to take a drug test for the job, and apparently Angelique knew that she was going to fail. So she got her hands on some friend's urine, right? And going into the place, she knew, well, I can't bring it in like this because they're going to expect it to be warm if I had just done this. So she stopped by the neighborhood 7-Eleven and took her cup of urine and put it in the microwave there, where it immediately exploded. Oh. All right? So she goes running out of the store. The, you know, the cashier sees this liquid all over the place, realizes what it is, calls the cops. They show up. They have video of
sure,
this woman.
Sure.
So they just start looking around the neighborhood, and they realize she's in the health center. That's like a couple of doors away from the 7-Eleven. And they look at her, and they bust her in the middle of her job interview.
Oh my God.
All right? She's facing one count of damaging property and probably not getting a job.
In the herd.
What do you got, Steve?
An 18-year-old high school senior near Pittsburgh, Patrick Gillis, recently became a junior firefighter.
Uh-huh.
Now, sick of not seeing any action, he decided he would go to a two-story duplex that he used to live in and set it on fire.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No one got hurt.
He's a firefighter, not a fire starter.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Well, he's both now.
That's true.
He did destroy the building and caused up to about $150,000 in damages.
Oh, jeez.
Now, someone happened to see him walking around before the fire, and then when the firefighters came, they also noticed that he was one of the firefighters. So that's how he got caught. He eventually admitted that he did set the fire because he wanted to put out a real fire. He's facing charges for arson, causing a catastrophe, and intentionally destroying an unoccupied structure, which are all felonies.
In the herd.
Over to you, Dave.
I have 24-year-old Tavon Wilson, who went to Walmart in Columbus, Georgia last week. He picked up a 55-inch Samsung TV and walked out of the store through the automotive department without paying.
Okay.
But a 55-inch TV is pretty heavy, pretty bulky, and apparently he was having some trouble carrying it as he walked home.
So he didn't have a car?
No, he's walking home.
He's walking home with a 55-inch TV.
Correct. So he saw two police officers and naturally asked them if they'd give him a lift back home with his new TV. Right around that time, the cops got a call from the Walmart asking about a missing TV. They connected the dots, and Tavon was arrested for shoplifting.
In the herd.
That's okay. We already caught him.
Right.
So... lastly this morning, 59-year-old Isidro Sanchez was living in a trailer park outside of Panama City, Florida. He's chubby, he has white hair, a white beard, and he looks a lot like Santa Claus. So the neighbors call him Santa Claus.
Okay.
And he was arrested repeatedly for breaking into a female neighbor's home and leaving her sexy underwear.
Bad Santa.
Okay. He left him in her car, he left him on her porch as well, and he did it several times a day for almost 3 months without getting caught. He left notes that said he was watching her, you know, just the way Santa does.
Sure. See what he did there.
Okay, right. The woman's boyfriend eventually caught him in their kitchen and called the cops. They found 3 bags in his trailer with a total of 90 pounds worth of women's underwear.
Oh my God.
All right. A jury just convicted him on Friday on 3 counts of burglary and 1 count of aggravated stalking. He's facing 40 years in prison.
In the herd.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Did you have a barbecue at all this weekend?
Oh, yeah, yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, you had your brand new grill.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, yes. Okay. All right. Yep. Yeah. My grill's working great.
Yeah.
Cleaned the whole thing, took it all apart, you know, put it back together.
Yeah, sparkling.
It is sparkling. It is raring to go.
Good.
All right, what about you, Steve?
Yeah, two of them.
Yeah, two of them?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, anybody serve carrot dogs?
No. What?
No? Carrot dogs?
An affirmative no.
What the hell is a carrot dog?
What
the hell is a carrot, first off?
It's a vegan hot dog. Just put the carrot in.
Right. Apparently, you take the thickest carrots you can find, and then you broil them for 20 minutes, turning them every five, right? And then you wrap them in foil for 15 minutes and get them on the grill until the skin is charred. You add some sesame oil, some salt, pepper, and then you put it in a hot dog bun, and voila! You know what you got? Somebody at your barbecue you didn't want there in the first place.
They would have eaten six hot dogs by the time they were done.
What do you think this sound is?
The John DeBella Podcast.
Could you make a sound like that?
102.9 MGK.